Oh, yeah. Welcome back. How are you, everybody? It's Wednesday morning, which means it's Wild Card Wednesday, which means you call 312-981-7200, request any song, any artist, anything. Ed requested the Five Americans Evolve, not Love. You want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200 for your Wild Card Wednesday requests. Also, coming up later on, we'll have a Blackhawks Express this morning from a very exciting game. Anisimov, though, it might be hurt. Dan, did you see that?
I did see the highlight, yes.
Yeah, he smashed into the boards and had to be carried off. And I haven't heard because I took a nap after the game. Did they announce? I mean, it's got to be lower body because he couldn't put any weight on his left leg. But did they officially say lower body?
I'll see if I can find that information out for you.
Well, we'll get more. We'll hear all the highlights. It was a great game, though. The Hawks won it 4-2. The Hawks are on a roll, man. So, and they're in first place. They are in first place. The Hawks are currently in first place, ladies and gentlemen. And so we will hear the Blackhawks Express a little bit later on as well.
CSN Chicago is listening him as day-to-day with a lower body.
Day-to-day with a lower body. Okay. All right. Well, it sucks because, you know, man, he's quietly one of the best guys on the ice. You know what I mean?
He is fantastic.
He's an amazing player. Amazing. So, anyway, that's sad news, but the Hawks did win. And Oduya got a goal, baby. Welcome back. Welcome back, Johnny. All right.
Joe Quenneville said after the game, was day-to-day, not serious. We'll see how he does over the next 2 days.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, that's good news. Good to hear. Didn't look good when you got to carry a guy off the ice. They had to open the Zamboni doors because they didn't want to take, because it was too far away to take him through the locker room. They had to get him off the ice. They had to open the Zamboni doors because the injury happened nearer to the Zamboni doors. So, anyway, we'll get all the highlights from that game coming up in a little bit. All right, we are going to talk about some of the best and most classic ad campaigns of all time. You get some marketing geniuses out there who create ad campaigns that become classic, that become part of the vernacular. And the reason why we're bringing this up is the latest here. This is a news story here. The fact that Don Draper is an imaginary character has not stopped him from achieving success more than 50 years after his creative peak. Draper, the polished, emotionally broken ad man, examined in 7 seasons of the AMC series Mad Men, is being credited, quote-unquote, with a bold new Heinz ketchup campaign, the same one he unsuccessfully pitched to the company in a season 6 episode back in 2013. Did you guys watch Mad Men? Dan, did you watch Mad Men?
Never saw an episode.
Really? How about you, Esmeralda?
I did. I finished the whole season of every season.
Yeah, I liked it. And it's really funny because, well, first of all, Alexis Bledel was on it, like, half naked. And I was like, hey, Rory, put a shirt on. Actually, I wasn't, but I was a little concerned about Rory. And she ended up marrying that dude in real life. Anyway, Amy Sherman-Palladino, after that episode aired, the episode where she's just wearing, like, a fur coat and nothing else, Alexis Bledel, Amy Sherman-Palladino says, hey, let her flaunt it if she's got it. I'm like, yeah, all right. She's still a little Rory Gilmore, though. I don't appreciate that, even though she's, like, 35 years old now. She's not 35. She's got to be younger than that, right? She's in her 30s. She's got to be in her 30s. Anyway... So one of the things I loved about Mad Men was when John Hamm revealed that he's funny, because there's nothing funny about Don Draper, like nothing. And then he turns out John Hamm turns out to be like the funniest guy on the planet. And I remember watching this SNL that he hosted, and I'm like, oh, this Don Draper, man. John Draper's a hard guy, very serious and damaged. And mean and cold. And then John Hamm hosts SNL and, like, grand slam, knocks it out of the park. Was that, Esmeralda, did you watch Mad Men when it was on, or did you catch up with it, like, later?
In the beginning, I watched it as it went on, and then I caught up with it later.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. But now, were you surprised to find out that John Hamm was so hilarious?
I just always think of him as Don Draper, so no. I thought he was just a hard drinking, serious man with issues.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But now you know how funny he is.
Yeah, no, he's great.
Oh my God, is he funny? He's like, I've told this story on the air before. And I want to remind everybody what his first time hosting SNL. And I think he's hosted four times, maybe. So his first time hosting SNL, he did a great job. It was fantastic. But they had a Vincent Price Halloween special, a Vincent Price Halloween special, and it was, you know, it was. The idea was that it was being shown on TV Land, and it was an old black and white special from the 50s. And Bill Hader was Vincent Price, and if I remember correctly, Kristen Wiig was Gloria Swanson. Oddly enough, we just talked about Sunset Boulevard, and then John Hamm was James Mason. But here's the thing: up until air, even after Dress, they did it in Dress. He was Dean Martin in Dress, and they changed it at the last minute to James Mason. Like, can you do a James Mason? And John Hamm's like, yeah, I guess. I don't know. I've never really done a James Mason before. Have you ever seen that sketch, Esmeralda?
I think I did. Yeah.
His James Mason is unbelievable. Like what? You didn't do this? It was after Dress when they changed that? And you come out and kill with that? When I heard that story, I was like, well, John Hamm is a comedic genius. I love that sketch. It's one of my favorites. I love all of the Vincent Price sketches are hilarious. Say, Price, where are the whores? That's like one of the first things he says when he walks in. James Mason. I thought you were supposed to, at one point he goes, as Vincent Price, he goes, Mr. Mason, I thought you were supposed to come as an astronaut. And he goes, no, too old-fashioned. And he goes, oh, the costume was too old-fashioned? He goes, no, I had two old-fashions on the way over, and I couldn't open the costume box. All right, well, we have to break. I'll tell you more about what Don Draper did for Heinz, and then we'll talk about classic, most memorable marketing and ad campaigns. 312-981-7200. News is next. Well, every person you can. Hey, Dan, is it Wild Card Wednesday? Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday. Sharon requested, a noun is a person, place, or thing from Schoolhouse Rock. You guys are too young to remember Schoolhouse Rock, man.
That song, I'm not too young to remember.
No, you remember that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Schoolhouse Rock is full of memorable little jams. Hey, do you remember in the 90s when they released hot bands of the 90s doing Schoolhouse Rock? Do you guys remember that?
No.
Hot bands?
Yeah, like Buffalo Tom is on there. Buffalo Tom does a song on the Schoolhouse Rock. I'm not kidding. Dan, look it up. There were some very hip bands from the 90s with like a 94, 95, somewhere around there.
Just the way you said it. Hot bands.
Of the 90s. Yeah. So we'll find that. By the way, we're talking about there you go. So who were some of the people on it? Does it have a track list?
Your track list includes the original theme music by Bob Duro and Friends, I'm Just a Bill by Deluxe Folk Implosion, Three is a Magic Number by Blind Melon,
yep,
Conjunction Junction by Better Than Ezra, Electricity, Electricity by Goodness, No More Kings by Pavement, The Shot Heard Round the World by Ween, My Hero Zero by the Lemonheads, The Energy Blues by Biz Markie, Little 12 Tones by Chavez, Esmeralda, Verb, That's What's Happening by Moby,
yep,
Interplanet Janet by Man or Astro Man, the aforementioned Buffalo Tom with Lolly, 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 Get Your Adverbs Here.
Yep.
And finally, Daniel Johnston did Unpack Your Adjectives.
Now, tell me that's not actual hot bands from the 90s. Seriously.
So hot.
80% of the bands on there were big at that time when that record came out. And Buffalo Tom, by the way, has played Lolly 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 in concerts. They actually play it. I had that record. I thought it was awesome. So
did it help you to diagram sentences?
No, I knew it all before that. That was just, you know, because that's a Generation X thing. The Schoolhouse Rock is a total Generation X thing. So to have those 90s bands at that time to cover that, that was really smart. We're talking about good marketing. That was a good idea. Because people around my age who were listening to that kind of music totally were nostalgic for Schoolhouse Rock. I bought the record as soon as it came out. I bought it like the day it came out. Well, I bought it mainly because Buffalo Tom was on it. But, yeah. Great marketing. And that's what we're talking about here, marketing and ad campaigns, 312-981. Now, this is a true story, 981-7200. I can finish the phone number. So it's a true story right now that imaginary character Don Draper from Mad Men, he pitched a Heinz ketchup campaign that was unsuccessful in an episode in 2013. Now, the real print spots are a collaboration between Heinz, this is in reality, Heinz Ads Agency, David Miami, AMC, and Mad Men creator Matt Wiener. In the show, Draper pitched the tomato paste czars a series of photos that didn't feature their product at all. Instead, they would be images of food consumers would slather in ketchup. Pass the Heinz would be the recurring tagline. Heinz's fictional counterparts didn't like it then, but they like it now in real life. Since the in-joke is likely to appeal to Mad Men fans preparing to celebrate the show's 10th anniversary later this year, in a press release, David Miami even credits Draper and Sterling Cooper Draper Price, the show's ad house. You can find the ads in the New York Post, Variety, and a trio of billboards that are appearing in New York City. Dan, have you seen the ads?
I have.
They look. Is it cool?
Or? I mean, it is. It's pretty, you know, minimalist. I mean, it's literally just like a pile of fries.
Yeah, and then
just above it,
right?
Past the Heinz.
That was the idea that Draper sold him. That's funny. All right. So, what are some of the great ad campaigns, memorable marketing campaigns? What, Esmeralda, what pops into your mind? What are some of the ones that pop into your mind?
Well, since it is Lent, right?
Uh-huh.
That filet of fish.
Oh, come on.
With that song.
Yeah.
That immediately comes to mind.
Yeah. Well, that's to me is one of the greatest theme songs ever in the history of anything. And I have it here somewhere. Oh, there it is.
Up on this wall, if it were you in that sandwich, you wouldn't be laughing at all.
Why not get your own filet of fish, especially?
Yeah, why didn't they continue that? They did it for 2 years and then they stopped it.
I think because that fish on the wall isn't fun anymore. Like nobody, they don't sell that thing on TV like they did before.
Yeah, what's the actual name of that thing? Harry's heady
big
mouth bass, Johnny's big mouth bass or something. Yeah,
wide mouth bass.
Yeah,
Barry,
something like that. But that commercial is fantastic. I love that commercial. I had those guys on my show. The guys who wrote the song came up with it. They were like, "Yeah, we were just kind of sitting around smoking a little pot, and we came up with the song." Like, oh, really? There's a shocker. Big Mouth Billy Bass is what it is. Big Mouth Billy Bass. That was really shocked that marijuana was involved in the creation of that. Just very shocking. Dan, what about you? What ad campaign or marketing campaign pops into your head?
The only advertisement that actually made me go out and purchase a product that I would not have already purchased was the Dos Equis Most Interesting Man in the World campaign.
Best.
Every single one of those commercials had one or two lines that made me stop and say that is one of the most truest statements that I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
And it like consistently never failed. Like I remember I would get excited when I would hear like that opening music after not hearing that one of their commercials for months.
Yeah.
And so like when I'm going higher end beer, I will go Dos Equis.
You'll go Dos Equis. That's that's the definition of a successful marketing campaign, one that stays with you and one that makes you buy the product. That falls under the umbrella of very successful. But yeah, they've changed the most interesting man in the world now. Didn't they change him?
Yeah.
He's like he's a young guy now. They have a different guy. I like the other guy. This is what they say about it. This classic campaign broke the mold for beer ads. Rather than featuring 20-somethings, Dos Equis aged up, making a star out of gray-haired journeyman actor Jonathan Goldsmith. In the campaign, he plays the debonair, the most interesting man in the world, who has become one of the most revered ad characters of the century. As one ad suggests, if he were to pat you on your back, you would list it on your resume. That's funny. Yeah, that's a great ad campaign. Great. They also have here, what's up? I remember when that was a thing. I thought it was funny. I mean, the first 500 times you see it, like the first couple of times I saw it, I laughed my ass off. I thought it was really funny. Beer brands have been doing bro humor forever, but few have done it better than Budweiser's what's up single word catchphrase that set the standard for silliness that works. It was based on a short film called True by Charles Stone III that featured friends and their unique greeting. Ad agency DDB Chicago turned it into a Budweiser ad, and it first aired in late 1999, but it really hit the mainstream after it appeared during the Super Bowl in 2000. Yeah. Yeah, good old what's up. All right. Brian says, I remember a Raid commercial that featured Muhammad Ali threatening ants. Okay. Steve says, not a classic commercial, but this is the new, but yet this new AT&T commercial with the guy doing movie quotes, it wraps up with a stuffy seminar grabbing a microphone out of his boss's hand and saying, Bueller, hits me on the floor, has me on the floor laughing. Yeah, that's when he's like doing a bunch of movie quotes. Like he gets a coffee and he says, I love the smell of napalm in the morning. And he's doing like all these pop culture movie TV quotes. That's on the new AT&T commercials. So, all right. Classic ad campaigns and marketing. They list number one, Nike Just Do It. The best marketing campaigns of all time. Nike Just Do It. We can get a little bit of history on that one as well. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's take a break here for weather and for traffic. Yeah. Wild Card Wednesday continues. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday. 312-981-7200. Any song, any artist, anything. Steven Galesburg presenting, requesting Sniff in the Tears, Driver's Seat. You know what movie they use that in spectacular fashion, Dan?
What movie is that?
That would be Boogie Nights, directed by the greatest filmmaker working today, Mr. Paul Thomas Anderson. They have a lot of that movie is so packed with great music. I remember reading an interview with Paul Thomas Anderson that said like half the budget of the movie was music rights because he had specific songs in mind for like every scene. And I can't remember exactly how much. It was probably a quarter, easily like a quarter of the budget of that movie went to the music rights. So, and it paid off, man. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Best marketing and ad campaigns. You guys remember Miller Lite, great taste, less filling? That was the slogan for many years for Miller Lite.
They still don't do that?
Yeah, I think they do. But it was at the peak, when it was at the peak, they would have like people like screaming at each other, like one side would take great taste, the other side would take less filling. And they would have athletes and like Bob Uecker in the commercials. They would all take sides and yell at each other about which side they're on. Are they on the great taste side or the less filling side? And that's a pretty classic ad campaign right there. Let's see. Here's Daniel on WGN. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
All right.
I think if you're going to mention ad campaigns that were notable, you got to throw in Wendy's Where's the Beef, Grandma?
Yeah. Clara Peller.
Yeah.
Became, a household name and a celebrity based on Where's the Beef.
And that came into play so many times.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a big one. All right, Daniel, thanks, buddy.
All right, no problem.
You know that the catchphrase that they didn't think Where's the Beef was going to be the catchphrase it was they thought the bun comment, whatever they say about the bun, that was going to be the one that took off, like there's too much bun or something. Whatever the other woman says, Clara Peller is the one who says, where's the beef? But there's another, she's with another woman, and she comments about how big the bun is. And that's what they thought, that's what Wendy's thought the ad campaign was going to, that was the part that was going to take off. Clara Peller was everywhere in like 1984. When that ad hit, she was everywhere. What do you got, Dan?
It certainly is a big bun.
It's a very big bun.
Big fluffy bun.
It's a very big fluffy bun.
Where's the beef?
Some hamburger places give you a lot of beef on a lot of bun.
They thought the big bun thing was going to take off.
And Wendy's single has more beef than the Whopper or Big Mac. At Wendy's, you get more beef and less bun.
Hey, where's the beef? I don't think there's anybody back there.
You want something better. Your Wendy's kind of...
How would they think that was not going to take off? She says, where's the beef, like four times in it. How did they think that the bun comment was going to be the thing that took off? And Clara Peller ended up in movies. She was in a terrible movie called Moving Violations. I've talked about it on the air before, a terrible movie about a bunch of people whose license are revoked and they have to go back to driving school. And it was John Murray, Bill Murray's brother, in the lead role doing a horrifying imitation of Bill Murray. Doing all of Bill Murray's quirks and tics and delivery lines. Like, if I were Bill Murray, I'd have beat the hell out of my brother if he did that. This came out in 1985, so it had been a year of the Where's the Beef commercials had been in heavy rotation at that point. Clara Peller's in the movie. I remember Jennifer Tilly is in it, too. Horrible movie. One of those terrible mid-80s, you know, R-rated comedies. And there's Clara Peller. But I don't think she could say Where's the Beef. If I remember correctly, I don't think she could say Where's the Beef in the movie because I think there was a trademark. So, like, she couldn't say it. So they just had Clara Peller in there for no reason. She couldn't say the only line that anybody ever wanted her to say. So stupid. Moving Violations. When are they going to release that on the Criterion Collection in the Blu-ray? That'll sell, like, millions. Maybe the next time Jeff Tuckman's in, we can give away Moving Violations to our listeners, to our lucky listeners. I remember my friends and I saw it at the drive-in. We were like, what the hell is this? Moving Violations. That was at the time when there was a Police Academy movie every 4 months. And it was in that vein. It was like, it wasn't quite Police Academy. It was Driving Academy. Same structure. So bad. All right. Here's Patrick on WGN. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Nick, how's it going, man?
All right.
Hey, I was talking to Dan and telling him about the Budweiser Frogs. Remember those guys?
Oh, yeah.
And how they went from the Frogs to the jealous lizard who was upset that the Frogs got to be the pitchman.
Yep.
And it was the whole storyline of the lizard trying to sabotage the commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was insane. I think the best one was when he did some kind of civil rights thing, got them all fired. And the Frogs got back at him by giving him a literal tongue lashing.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, that was a funny campaign too. I mean, they're dated now, yeah. just like What's Up. They're dated now, but at that time, man, that was funny stuff, and those Frogs were hilarious.
It was.
I thought the Frogs. Remember
the light beer commercials? Another commercial, I think his name was Mike. They would always show a picture of a guy who kind of looked like Mike Nesmith, and they were like they did one. Where it was a guy in a beaver costume, and it was called Evil Beaver. Someone stole his light beer, and he went on a rampage.
Wow, I don't remember that. That's not ringing a bell for me.
They were done by light beer. It was in the 90s. It was an ad campaign in the 90s.
Yeah,
and it started off. This is another ad. This is another ad by Mike or Joe. I forgot what the guy's name was, but they would always put like a high school yearbook picture of a guy, and he had a haircut like Mike Nesmith. They were all quirky funny. Real quick, all the madness that was on the Kennedy, I hit it because I had to go to Des Plaines. But remember how I told you that South Haven and Grand Rapids was nice and clear.
Yeah.
Well, I was good until I got to Benton Harbor, and right now I am enacting a scene from The Shining. It is just bananas.
All right. Well, be careful, man. All right?
Of course. I'm only going about 20 miles an hour.
All right. Well, be careful, Patrick. All right, buddy. Take care.
All right.
See ya.
Take care. Bye. Bye.
The 815 area code says the Heinz anticipation commercial. Remember we talked about this before and you guys didn't remember that? Where they used...
Still don't.
They used the song Anticipation by Carly Simon. And it was because it takes a long time for the ketchup to come out of the bottle. You know? So the entire ad campaign was about... they used the song Anticipation by Carly Simon, and people were like tipping their Heinz, and this is Heinz ketchup, waiting for the ketchup to come out, and it was about being, you know, anticipation. And then they, in the last time we talked about this, I talked about the parody that they did on SNL, where Bill Murray was advertising a mineral water called Swill. And it was, if I remember, it was like from the East River, like the water came from the East River in New York, and it was like thick, like jelly, and it had like cigarette butts, and it had like cigarette butts and beer opener tabs inside of it, as he poured it out, and they used Anticipation on that commercial, and it was, you know, so that's when it was the mid 70s, late 70s when that commercial was popular. 815 area code, Mr. Whipple, please don't squeeze the Charmin. I always thought Mr. Whipple was a jerk. And who cares if you're squeezing the Charmin?
But then it gets all out of whack. And then no one wants to buy that package.
Well, aren't you going to buy it if you're squeezing it?
No, because you're going to get a fresh one that hasn't been squeezed.
Dan is just speaking of anticipation. Friday morning is straight out of context, everybody. And I think we just got a couple of entries for it.
Are you just anti every toilet paper commercial? Because you also hate those Charmin Bears too, right?
Can't stand the Charmin Bears.
Those crack me up because the last one I saw, the grandma's like, and now we make a big pile.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, kid's like, no, we don't waste it.
The other thing, yeah, exactly. But the thing is, that's funny that I was like, you know, comparing my walk to get toilet paper to The Revenant, and there's a giant bear in that movie. Wonder if he needed toilet paper. But the bears, it makes me nuts because like it's like, hey, everybody goes. You may as well enjoy it. That's one of the things. one of the taglines. Hey, everybody goes. You may as well enjoy it.
They're adorable, and they get little pieces of toilet paper stuck on their butts.
Right, which of course logically makes no sense.
Why not?
Because bears don't wipe their butts.
Well, these do, along with the Bernstein Bears.
They wipe their butts, too?
I would assume. They wear clothes.
They wear clothes.
I would hope so.
That's going to be a hell of a laundry bill if they don't. All right, we got a break. The news is coming up next.
Gonna let her in. Gonna let her in my life. Let her in.
Oh, my God. I have not heard this song. I can't even tell you how long it's been since I heard this song. Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday. Continues. Any song, anything, any artist. 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio here on WGN. Dan in Monroe, Wisconsin. Dan, had you ever heard that song before?
You know, I had because whatever show is very popular in high school, the American Bandstand that was featured on, like there was a compilation American Bandstand that they were selling, and that was one of the clips they showed.
Was that.
And I remember my friend John Shvashnevik was livid every time they showed that part. Gonna let her in. And we would literally talk about this commercial like every day for weeks.
Why was he livid?
John Travolta looks like a moron, you know, because he's like, gonna let her in. And then he has this like sly little grin on his face and he shakes his head. And
he's lip syncing too.
And he's got this weird maroon turtleneck on.
Right.
And, Oh, it was hilarious.
That's John Travolta, by the way, and Let Her In. And it was a hit. The song actually charted. And, of course, he appeared on an American Bandstand. Yeah, that was not good. All right, we're talking about the most memorable marketing and ad campaigns. 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio here. We're here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. So 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in here with some of your favorite ad campaigns. And, you know, a successful ad campaign, one, is it supposed to make you remember what the product is? And two, it's supposed to make you go, you know what, I should buy that product. And so far, the most successful ad campaign that we've heard personally was from Dan Chigrou and the Dos Equis ad campaign for the Most Interesting Man in the World, because it succeeded on both levels. So, let's see. On this list, Volkswagen Think Small. Many marketing and advertising professionals like to call Volkswagen's Think Small campaign the gold standard. Created in 1960 by a legendary advertising group at Doyle, Dane, and Birnbach, the campaign set out to answer one question: how do you change people's perceptions, not only about a product, but about an entire group of people? At the time of the campaign, Americans had a propensity for buying big American cars. So what did Volkswagen advertisement do? It played right into the audience's expectations. You think I'm small? Yeah, I am. But they never tried to say something that they were not. Think Small. That was around for a long time, that ad campaign.
Didn't they do Farfagnugan?
Yeah, they did.
And then they had that Da-Da song.
Yeah, Da-Da-Da.
They had some good ads of Volkswagen people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, was it Volkswagen? Esmeralda, if you remember, I can't remember. I think it was Volkswagen that had the commercial with the guy was singing Mr. Roboto in the car.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah,
don't know what he's singing. You see, because outside the car, you can see that he's singing something, but you can't hear what it is.
Yeah, he's by himself.
Right. He's all by himself, and he's singing Mr. Roboto.
I think it's Volkswagen.
I thought that was Volkswagen, too. I thought it was as well. And one of the most iconic ad campaigns and marketing campaigns, print or television, was the Marlboro Man. The Marlboro Man was just legendary. The Marlboro Man ads, which ran, they started running as early as 1955, represented the power of a brand when it creates a lifestyle around the product. Want to be free? Want to be a man? Want to be on the rope and range? It's the very definition of a Marlboro Man. The ads were effective because they captured an ideal lifestyle to which many men aspired to at the time. Yeah, good old Marlboro Man. You know, they used to, downtown Esmeralda, in the loop there, right at State and Lake. No, not at Lake, State and Randolph. State and Randolph, on the corner there. There used to be, I don't know if it's, is there a Walgreens on that corner still?
At State and Lake?
State and Randolph. Block south of State and Lake.
There.
State and Lake is the Chicago Theater, essentially, and the Lake Street L, the Red Line. But it's the one more south, and there used to be a Walgreens there on the corner, right on the corner of State and Randolph.
They might have changed.
On the southeast corner of State and Randolph. I'm sorry, northeast corner of State and Randolph. Northeast corner of State and Randolph. Used to be a Walgreens. I don't know if it's there. I haven't been down in the loop in a while. But on top of that building, where the Walgreens was, right on the corner there of State and Randolph, they used to have, that's where they had the smoking ads for the billboard. And what they would do is they would pipe a chimney up into the back of the billboard, where there would be a hole cut into what would essentially be a person's mouth, and smoke would come out. So it looked like the billboard was, the person on the billboard was smoking. And I don't know, I'm pretty sure at one point it had to be a Marlboro Man, but I'm trying to remember there were different brands that would take over, but that was like the smoking ad right there. And I think because they did that because there was one in Times Square, right in the heart of Times Square, there was a big ad with the Marlboro Man and smoke coming out of his mouth. So they did that right at the corner of State and Randolph, right there on the corner. And of course, there's an episode of Seinfeld where Kramer is the Marlboro man. He wins the lawsuit. He wins a lawsuit with a tobacco company. He wins a lawsuit with a tobacco company. So the settlement is that he gets to be the Marlboro man. He gets to be the Marlboro man in Times Square. And Jackie Childs, of course, his lawyer is like, this is the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen. So, yeah, Marlboro man. Let's see. 630 area code says, everyone makes fun of Joe Piscopo, but his beer commercials were the best. I don't remember Joe Piscopo's beer commercials. What was it? Just Joe Piscopo? Was it light beer? The only thing that I can think, maybe it was light beer, and he had like a, did he do Sinatra in him maybe? I don't.
YouTube says Miller Lite.
Yeah, okay, Miller Lite. All right.
I am master of ancient art of karate, kung fu, and the Chinese chukko. But the one about the socializing? I always reach for a cold Miller Lite. Light tastes great. Light less filling too. Hey, anybody want the pepperoni?
Ancient proverb, only one light beer, Miller Lite.
Yeah, that's not too offensive. Yeah, no, that's not too offensive at all, really. Nice job.
I wonder if he had buck teeth.
He did, I think.
And if his eyes were slanted.
Oh, my God.
Oh, gosh.
I'm glad we played that. Oh, that's fantastic. Wow. All right, here's Kevin on WGN. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Nick. Hey, what about the Coca-Cola? It's the real thing. Wasn't it when they were singing?
Yeah, well, that's I'd like to teach the world to sing.
Right. I'd like to teach the world to sing.
I'd like to give the world a Coke.
Right.
Yeah. It's the real thing was their tagline, the ad phrase. But then they would do that song, and that song became a hit actually.
Oh, yeah, that was in, I think, 71 or 72, something like that?
Early 70s, yeah, definitely, early 70s. So,
yeah. Yeah, I think that, and at Christmas time, they would be, like, formed in a Christmas tree singing it.
Yeah, yep, that's true. Yeah. Absolutely right. Now we're old, Kevin.
Don't say nothing. No one, we won't tell anybody.
All right, see you later, man. Have a good day.
Yeah,
right,
you too.
Take
bye-bye.
Care, buddy. All right. Yeah, the real thing. All right. We'll take a break here. We got weather, we got traffic, and we've got more. We have a ton of texts coming in with favorite marketing and ad campaigns. 312-981-7200. Maybe we'll hear more John Travolta on Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, man. Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man. Fog hat. Yeah. Steve from Plainfield requested some Fog Hat, Fool for the City. That's actually one of my favorite album covers of all time. It's a dude sitting on a city street fishing into a manhole because he's a fool. And I think he's got a beard, a crazy beard, and a hat. And he might be sitting on a cooler. I don't remember, but he's fishing into a manhole because he's a fool and he's in the city. You don't fish into a manhole. You fish into a manhole, you're a fool. A fool for the city. You see how that works, Dan?
Brilliant deductions there. If memory serves correct, I believe that was the first ever Triple Play Thursday listener request was three Foghat songs.
Yeah.
And you had the video I played was just like a lyric video that didn't have the image. And you made me like go search out
to find out the album cover. Yeah, I remember that. It's one of the greatest album covers of all time. And he's a fool in the city for it. Man, when Foghat, you have to understand, when Foghat Live came out, it blew up. That was one of those albums from the 70s that if the police busted into your house and you didn't have it, you could be arrested. If you didn't have Foghat Live, jail. Foghat Live was a great album. All right. We're talking about great ad campaigns and marketing. Hey, that's that right there. Great album cover. Also, you know, that's a great ad campaign right there. An idiot sitting in the middle of the city fishing into a manhole because he's an idiot. He's a fool for the city. You think he worked for the city? Was that the reason? That's why he was a fool? All right. We're talking about classic ad campaigns and marketing campaigns. And on this list here, the California Milk Processing Board, Got Milk. Classic. Got Milk is a classic, classic campaign. And, man, how many celebrities did they get to put the milk mustache on? Didn't they have, like, a ton of celebrities do that ad? In the print ad, obviously. Yeah, I think they had, like, some major celebrities.
Do you remember the milk ad where it was a TV one where it would be a kid and they're always wronged by someone and they'd be like, you just wait. I'm going to drink milk and grow up to be really strong. And then they grow up and they're like a hot guy or a girl.
Right. Yep. I remember
that. Drank
milk. Because you drink. Well, that's not the case. I drink milk all the time and I'm a fat, ugly bastard. So that doesn't really. That's not really truth in advertising.
You might have drank too much milk.
Yeah. It says, thanks to the campaign, milk sales in California rose 7% in just 1 year, but the impact ran across state borders, and to this day you still can't escape the millions of parodies. Note, though, that the ad didn't target people who weren't drinking milk, but instead focused on the consumers who already were. The lesson here is that sometimes it's about getting your current audience to appreciate and use your product more often. So they were not advertising it to you guys. They were advertising it to me. Because I'm Captain Milk. How about Dove Real Beauty? I don't remember this. Imagine a world where beauty is a source of confidence, not anxiety. That's the tagline for Dove's Real Beauty campaign, which has been turning heads since its launch in 2004. Its simple but effective approach to persona marketing. They created ads around a topic they knew was sensitive but meaningful to their customers. For example, in their Real Beauty Sketches campaign, they created ads around a social experiment in which an FBI-trained sketch artist was asked to draw female volunteers twice, first as each woman described herself and the second as a random stranger described her. The images were then drawn completely differently, and Dove accompanied their findings with a compelling statistic that only 4% of women around the world consider themselves beautiful. The results, the different videos showing Dove's sketches, were viewed more than 114 million times and shared 3.7 million times and uploaded in 25 languages, seen in 110 countries. Why have I never seen this?
I'm surprised you hadn't. It was pretty big there for a bit.
Wow.
Well, no, it was also probably more on lady channels.
Yeah.
Since but they I were mean, focusing more on women
but
about
still,
it.
Nick is a 14-year-old girl
that's
when it
right.
comes to his TV.
That's correct.
Yeah, but I don't think Nick's watching Lifetime.
Not watching Lifetime.
Or...
I was watching the Pretty Little Liars. That's on ABC Family.
Oh, it might be on there. It probably would have been on there.
Or Freeform, as it's called now. That was a smart move, changing the title of ABC Family to Freeform. I watched Bunheads. That was also on ABC Family.
But that whole thing, it was also part, it's the ad campaign that's still going on, where they put quote-unquote regular women on billboards, and they're all just wearing underwear.
Okay, and I know that. I've seen that.
Yeah, so that's all.
I don't know the sketch. I don't think I've seen the sketch artist one, though. How did I miss this? If it was, I mean, I watch an unhealthy amount of TV, and I'm a loser. I should have been able to see this. All right. Here's Carl on WGN. Hey, Carl.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Yeah, like in the early 90s, there was this Nescafe commercial about coffee, and this British man and this British woman. They're always showing up at each other's door, and it was like a soap opera.
Yeah, I remember that. It was like a continuation. It was a story that continued from commercial to commercial to commercial.
Right, and then their romance. I just ran them on YouTube, and their romance would build as they would trade the coffee back and forth.
That's right. I remember that. Yeah, I totally remember that.
wasn't there a pasta one that they started up that, like, Barilla? That they were doing the same thing? Like, there was a couple, and they kept looking at each other?
And they were, and they did, like, and it was a continuation of a romance via pasta?
Right. I don't know. I just thought it was unique because it was like a storyline. Every time you saw a commercial, you're like, let's see what happens in this one.
Yeah, I know. I remember thinking that was a really clever campaign because it did indeed. Each commercial ended with like a cliffhanger. Like, what's going to happen next?
Right.
I have to.
There was a woman showed up in a friend of his in his apartment, and then that girl showed up, and then she's looking like, I'm in trouble here.
Yeah.
I thought it was unique.
It was. Good one, Carl. All right, thanks for the call, man.
Okay, no problem.
Take care. 815 area code just writes, I've fallen and I can't get up. Well, that's pretty classic, obviously.
Those have gotten progressively scarier.
Oh, man, I know.
The older people. I'm like, oh, my God.
How about the one where the little girl and her grandmother's on the floor?
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to see that.
That's pretty rough.
Or like when the woman comes to visit her mom and she opens up the door. She's got keys to the house and she opens up the door. She's there with her kid. And her mom's like, oh, she's in the shower or something. And she fell. I'm like, come on,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, she's not even saying words. She's just yowling.
Oh, man.
It's quite frightening.
It's terrifying. I mean, it'll get you to buy the product. You know, I know the product. It's Life Alert. I know exactly what that product is. It's Life Alert. You can wear it around your neck. You can wear it anytime you go out.
Yeah, there's the ones that can sense, like if you've passed out.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it's effective. It makes you go, well, yeah, man, that might be a good product to have. So, all right. Well, we got a break here. We got weather and traffic. Well, no, you know what? We have news. I just forgot what time it was. All right, we have news. We'll take a break. And then after the news, we'll wrap this up. We got a Blackhawks Express as well. Ton of texts are coming in. If you want to call in, 312-981-7200, talking about very memorable ad campaigns and marketing campaigns here on WGN.
I'd hammer out danger.
Danger.
I'd hammer out a warning.
Warning.
I'd hammer out love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land. I had a bell, I'd ring it in the morning.
Sorry. All right. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Birdman requested that. If I had a hammer, that, of course, is Leonard Nimoy. that album also has the Bilbo Baggins song on it, right?
Yes, that's his best of album.
It's the best of Leonard Nimoy. Best of Leonard Nimoy, is that a double album? Because it's got to be if it's the best of Leonard Nimoy. At least double, triple album.
How many remixes of Bilbo Baggins is on?
Yeah, there's probably 20 different versions. If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning. What a great version, man. That Leonard Nimoy, man. Some people say Nimoy.
What'd he say?
I don't remember. He never corrected them if they said Nimoy. And it was Nimoy, but I've heard Nimoy.
I've never heard Nimoy.
Oh, you haven't? Really?
No.
Neither has Dan? Wait, really? I'm the only person that has heard people refer to him as Leonard Nimoy?
Are you the only one calling him that?
No! Okay. Oh. I'm the only one calling Antonio Bendejas Antonio Bendejas. I know that. From the Mambo Kings, Esmeralda. He was in the Mambo Kings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he learned to speak English because of that movie?
Oh.
You know, he did his audition. He memorized his sides phonetically, didn't know English,
okay. And
got the part because he's a Mambo King.
Oh, boy.
And he's Antonio Bendejas. Did Melanie Griffith and him break up? Am I right in hearing that?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't. You might have to ask him.
I'll call Bendejas.
Yeah,
will you?
When you have your weekly call about Mambo Kings.
When I talk about how much I love the Mambo Kings.
you ask him.
Well, maybe, you know, if I had allergies, he could fly over and visit me.
Right. But you don't.
I don't.
So you have to make that weekly call.
Yeah. Canadian Bill. Hey, speaking of Leonard Nimoy, Canadian Bill, that would be William Shatner. Do you remember the Alka-Seltzer commercial with the guy who says, that's a spicy meatball? Yes, I do. I know you don't. That was like early 70s. He would be like, that's a spicy meatball. He'd eat the meatball, and then he'd have to have Alka-Seltzer because it was too spicy. It was funny because the guy had to eat a ton of meatballs while they were filming the commercial, and at the end of the day, he had to have an Alka-Seltzer.
Ugh.
I had a friend who did a beef commercial, Beef Council commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And they go through so much food on these sets because if they have to do different takes and stuff,
yeah,
they got to bring out a whole new steak. Like he had like five pounds of steak during this filming because they would have to do a take and then they have to bring out a whole new steak because they had to cut into it. And he said it wasn't bad. It was, you know, ate a bunch of beef all day. Got paid for it, and it was a national, so he made a lot of money.
I'm amazed that he ate it.
They told him to eat it.
I would think that it'd be like, chew it, and then we'll cut.
And then spit it out. Yeah, well, maybe that was the case. I don't know, but he ate it.
I mean, yeah, if I was there, I'd be like, no.
Of course you would. It's a piece of steak that was cooked for you. Why the hell wouldn't you not eat it?
It's like, no. We'll figure this out. Can I take home the extra?
I'll take home the rest. Nick says, I was wondering if you remember a Nike commercial that I swear featured an Elvis Costello song. I've looked for it everywhere online. I can't find it anywhere. I don't remember Elvis Costello song in a Nike commercial. Don't remember that.
Mm-mm.
815 area code says, the Taco Bell Chihuahua, yo quiero Taco Bell. Robert Duvall loves that commercial. Dorothy says, Mike likes it at Life Cereal. He likes it. Hey, Mikey. He won't eat it. He hates everything. You remember Mikey's head exploded because he had Pop Rocks and Coke.
Yeah.
That's how he died.
Right.
He had some Pop Rocks. He drank some Coke. Head exploded right all over the room.
Was it in a commercial for either Coke or Pop Rocks? And
it was a it was a Life commercial. That's how his life ended. His head exploded after eating Pop Rocks and drinking Coke. Wayne says the Geico Caveman commercials. Remember when they made a sitcom out of that?
The cave. Ugh.
They made a sitcom. Jeez. I think it lasted like three episodes before it got canceled.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Who? Hey, Dan. What famous person started out as a Geico Caveman?
Oh yeah. I'm searching that. Tim in Wales lets us know that in the documentary about Leonard Nimoy produced by his sons, they say Nimoy. So he's guessing that if the sons say Nimoy, it's probably
Nimoy. Okay. Well, I've heard, but I'm telling you, I've heard Nimoy.
Well, you know, there's dumb people who don't want to listen when you tell them how you say your name. They tell you that that's not how you say your own last name. So
people continue to call me DiGiulio, and there's no you
right
in my name. Yeah, but somebody started out their career as a Geico caveman.
John Lair is a name that keeps.
How about Chris D'Elia? Chris D'Elia? C H R I S. Well, Chris D'Elia. D'Elia. He's on Undateable. He's on that show Undateable. He's a really funny stand up comedian. I think he started out. I think he started out doing the Geico stuff, or at least he told a story where he would do it. Maybe he's not listed because he would do it at like corporate functions and stuff.
Oh God!
Like he would show
my
up dressed. Yeah, like
that?
Yeah, like they would. You'd have to come in character. You know how you get paid like to dress up like a piece of pizza and pass out flyers, you know, in front of places.
Right.
This was like at conventions and stuff. He would go to conventions dressed up like a Geico. I think that might be what I was thinking.
Was Geico the one that did those commercials where they were computer? Like really bad graphics on a computer, and it was like sexy grandpa. And then he's dancing. It's a computer graphic dancing. And it was,
no, but
who is that?
E-Surance, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Was that E-Surance?
Yeah, because we Zach Crockett, who would join us from Priceonomics quite a bit, he wrote a really interesting piece because that mascot had to be discontinued because some freakazoids on the internet like made up stories about her that were very dirty and all sorts of weird things.
Yeah, really? The internet ruined something? Really? How did that happen? Geico today and for many years have had some of the best ads. They are some of the funniest and most clever ads on TV.
Yeah.
They really are. Whoever their ad agency is has consistently done very funny commercials for many years now.
I do enjoy that little gecko.
Yeah, of course. You got to love that. But I'm talking about stuff. I mean, come on. Iced tea at the lemonade stand? That alone? Oh, man. Lemonade. Read the sign. That commercial rules, man. How about the commercial? And I think this is a funny commercial where the guy is trying to propose to his girlfriend and her phone keeps going off because her stupid brother is butt dialing her at the sporting event. Did you ever see that one?
Mm-mm.
It's very funny. It's very funny. Geico. Yeah. I think they do funny commercials, man. All right, here's Tyrone on WGN. Hey, Tyrone.
Hi, Nick.
Hey.
Well, I'll try to be as quick here as possible. First of all, you were talking about the life alert there. I had to laugh because one day I was listening to the news on the radio from Waterloo, Iowa, of all places, and the police responded to two old women that had got into a physical altercation at the old folks' home. And when they arrived on the scene, the one old woman was strangling the other old woman with her life alert.
Oh, my.
I thought that was funny. She's strangling her with her life alert.
Oh, that's pretty funny, man. I got to say, that's
true
pretty
story.
Funny. That's funny.
And the two commercials I got here is the one where the guy is walking in from the patio with the food from the grill, and he accidentally walks into the patio window because he doesn't even see that it's closed because Windex was used.
Right.
And when he walked into the patio door, you know, he fell backward with all the food, and then these two crows start laughing like crazy on the telephone line.
Yeah.
That's
a good commercial.
That was really good.
That's a good commercial. That's a continuation of what they're doing now, because the crows are telling people to buy a product that you can spray, and it makes your windows dirty so that you can see that their windows.
Which I think is actually a problem with birds.
Oh, it is. No, it is.
Absolutely. Running into glass.
No, they do. No, it's absolutely. It's a true thing. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
I think that's happened in real life.
It happens. Oh, no, it happens in real life. Sure, of course it does. No, it's a thing. It's definitely a thing.
And the third commercial here, Nick, and this is the last one, by the way. I don't think anybody remembers this, but this was way before Welcome Back, Kotter. It was like 70 or 71, and John Travolta was modeling Hager slacks for his grandmother on the front porch.
Yeah, he did a lot. You know, Travolta did a lot of commercials before he landed Kotter. He also did, if I remember correctly, did like a shampoo commercial where he's like shirtless in a shower, you know, doing the shampoo thing. But the Hager slacks, he also did print ads for Hager slacks.
Yeah, and his grandmother, you know, she's on the front porch and she says to him, she says, Johnny, turn around so I can see how good you look in those Hager slacks.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Oh, boy.
All right, Tyrone. Thanks, man.
Okay.
Hey, have a good day.
Turn
around and let me see how good you look in those Hager slacks.
Grandma.
Jeez, Grandma, you've been drinking? What's going on? He's going to let her in. Oh, wait a minute now. Hold it. That's the John Travolta. You were talking with Mary. That's the John Travolta song we played a little earlier.
Oh.
He sang it. He had a hit with a song called I'm Gonna Let Her In. And Dan and his friend used to watch the commercial for American Bandstand and get mad at it. Because Travolta looked like a... That's what you said, right, Dan? What's your friend's name?
John Shavajnovic.
Okay. John would get mad because Travolta looked like such a dope.
Mm.
He had like a purple turtleneck on. He was lip syncing and grinning.
Oh, wait, I think I've seen that.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I know that you've watched I Love the 70s and stuff. I'm sure you've seen it. I'm sure you've seen
it. How many times have you watched that, Dan, that you...
No, it was a commercial. I was saying, like, you saw it the same reason we saw it. It was like during like Dawson's Creek or something, like a weird... Something on Channel 50 at 4 o'clock. That
oh,
only
like
us,
they're selling the best of 70s.
Right, right.
Oh, okay,
the
like,
best of American
they...
Bandstand. It was
oh,
the best
I
of
see.
American Bandstand.
Because I was just thinking, I'm like, why are they advertising that?
Yeah. No, but I'm pretty sure you saw it on the VH1.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff that they would show on I Love the 70s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just to embarrass. I know they showed David Soul from Starsky and Hutch. I know they showed his performance of his hit single, and I can't even remember what's the name of David Soul's hit single. It was a ballad, too. Oh, man, I can't remember what it's called. Dan, can you find out while I do the weather?
Yep.
Don't give up on us, baby. We're still worth one more try. I know we put a last one by. Just for a rainy evening.
Yeah. the smooth sounds of Hutch. Yeah. It was a big hit. And that's in the same, I mean, that's in the same damn category as that John Travolta song. That's the same, you know what I mean, Dan? I wouldn't be surprised if the same dude wrote it.
Probably. Was he the one that kicked heroin by just walking around in a sweater for a couple days?
What? Yes, Hutch was.
Oh, in the show.
In the show, they had an episode. Wow. They had an episode where these guys strung out Hutch on heroin. And then, you know, because it's an hour show and everything gets wrapped up, Starsky was able to walk him around the room, drink a little coffee, and he never had heroin right. again.
Of course. That's how
Because,
that
you know,
works.
It's so easy to kick those kind of habits.
That's how it works. A little coffee.
Just walk around a little bit.
Nescafe?
You'll be yeah. Yeah, and it was a continuing cliffhanger. Will Hutch get off? Will he get off the horse? all right. Dominic says it's time to make the donuts. I remember that dude. The donut dude. Let's see. Don't forget about the Oscar Mayer baloney song.
Mm-hmm.
The baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R.
And I also enjoy the, we talked about it a few weeks ago. Was it Stouffer's? Or no. The lasagnas. The guy, he just.
That's encore.
Creep around yeah. the freezer section.
Al from Happy Days.
And invite himself over to your house.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you can't finish the Salisbury steak. I'll be there at 7.
I'd be like, it's called leftovers. Get out of here.
Yeah. Encore. That was encore.
For a taste of more, it's encore.
That's it. Right. Yep. Russ says, how about the beef jerky commercials with the Bigfoot when he beats everybody up? That's because they mock the Bigfoot.
Right?
They make fun of the Bigfoot. Should beat him up.
Poor Bigfoot.
And poor Kong. Even in the new movie, they're messing with Kong. Leave Kong
alone.
Do they
give him snacks?
No, they don't give him snacks.
They make fun of him.
708 Erico says, I learned in health class that Marlboros were made for women, and the reasons the box were red was because it wanted to look like lipstick. It's funny how the Marlboro Man made them popular with men.
Because ladies need the long, flirty cigarettes.
The Virginia Slims.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where everyone's having a good old time on the ad.
Yeah, it's the roaring 20s. You got to have a nice, long cigarette. Carol says that the Walgreens at St. Randolph is still there. It's expanded now to 2 stories, and it's one of those fancy Walgreens.
Oh, okay.
So there it is.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, right there, State and Randolph.
That one's not even that fancy anymore.
No. The Walgreens across the street here. The Walgreens across the street here is fancy.
Yeah, because they keep making them fancier and fancier.
And the walls aren't painted green anymore. I'm such an idiot. All right. Hey, Esmeralda, thanks, man. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Dan Feinberg's going to join us to talk TV, and we'll have a pop-up video so everybody can, all the cats can be ready. All right. We'll take a break. The news is next.